Okay, let's pick up here at the top of Yud Chesem and Beis. What we're in the middle of discussing right now is Rava's Chakira about whether Chatzin Ezek Tzoros we pay Megufa or Me'aliyah, right? And what we explained before is that what's at the core of this Chakira is that we know that there's machlokas between Sumchus and the Chachamim, that when you pay for damages, let's say an animal's walking and a stone gets flicked out from beneath its foot and smashes into a glass vase and breaks it. So, how much do you have to pay? So, according to the Chachamim, you pay Chatzin Nezek, and according to Sumchus, you pay Nezek Shalim. So, Rav had a question. We say that according to the Chachamim, you pay Chatzin Nezek. So, we know that for Tam and Muad, there are two major distinctions between Tam and Muad. Number one, with respect to how much you pay, right? For Tam, you pay Chatzin Nezek. For Muad, you pay Nezek Shalim. And number two, with respect to from what you pay, right? That for Chatzin Nezek, you pay Megufo, and for Muad, you pay Me'aliyah. So now, Rava's question is, we know that according to the Chum, that when it comes to how much you pay, it seems to parallel the halachos of Tam, and so you pay Chatzin Nezek. So the question is, what about when it comes to from what you pay for a case of Tzoros? Do you pay Megufo just like Tam, or do we say that since it's a case of Orchayu, where the animal is behaving in a normal way, and the Tzoros get flicked out as a result of typical behavior, and that results in the damage? So just like any other case of Orchayu, where we say that you're chayav to pay Me'aliyah, so too over here, you should have to pay Me'aliyah. We tried to address this question based on the Gemara, based on the Braisa of Yidus. We rejected that Raya. Then we tried to address this question from the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph. The Mishnah Daf Chaf Aleph and based on Baba Kama discusses what happens if a dog picks up a cake along with a coal and drops it off nearby a Gaddish. The dog eats the cake, and then the coal burns down the pile of grain. The question is, how much do you have to pay for the pile of grain? Do you have to pay Chatzin Nezek? Do you have to pay Nezek Shalim? So the Mishnah tells us that you have to pay Chatzin Nezek. Now, we know that it's really a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Elazar. According to the Chachamim, you pay Chatzin Nezek, and according to Rav Elazar, you pay Nezek Shalim. But what both positions hold is that you pay Megufo. So the question is, what is the case over here? So the Gemara assumes the case of Kelish, not the Charara, is a case of Tzoros. And it's in that case, that's where the Chachamim say that you're going to pay Chatzin Nezek for the case of Tzoros. And so you also see that even in a case where you're paying Chatzin Nezek for Tzoros, you're going to be paying Megufo. And the assumption is, of course, that the case of Tzoros is a Tzoros as a result of Orchayu, of typical behavior. And then, in which case, that parallels Rava's case beautifully. So we can address Rava's question. Rava's question was Chatzin Nezek Tzoros, do you pay Megufo or Me'aliyah? And so you see that according to the Chacham over there, you pay Megufo. So the Gemara said, though, that assumption that it's dealing with a case of Tzoros, where it's Orchayu, doesn't seem to really fit if you hold like Rav Elazar. Because according to Rav Elazar, how is it that if the case is a case of typical Tzoros, so then Rav Elazar holds that you pay Nezek Shalom. Well, who else holds that you pay Nezek Shalom for Tzoros when it's Kirchayot? Sumchus. Well, if Rav Elazar is in Sumchus's camp, there's no way that Sumchus is going to hold that you're going to pay Nezek Shalom for case of Tzoros and also Megufo. So how could Rav Elazar possibly hold that you pay Nezek Shalom and Megufo if the case is a case of Tzoros where it's Tzoros Kirchayot? So therefore, the Gemara says, must be that the case of the Mishnah Daf Chaf Aleph is really a case where it's not typical Tzoros, it's Tzoros as a result of atypical behavior. For example, let's say the dog doesn't, let's say picks up the coal directly with its mouth. So that's very abnormal behavior. And so in that case, now we're not really dealing with standard Tzoros anymore, we're dealing with a case of Toldo deKaren. And so in that case, because we're dealing with Toldo deKaren, the Chacham are going to hold that you pay Chatzin Nezek and you're going to pay Megufo because the animal is behaving in an atypical fashion. But Rav Elazar is of the opinion that you're going to pay Nezek Shalim, but you're still going to pay Megufo. Why does he say that you pay Nezek Shalim for a case, excuse me, of Karen? And the answer is because he aligns with Reb Tarfon. We know that Reb Tarfon is a famous machlokas between Reb Tarfon and the Chachamim and Daf Chav Dalet. If you say that you pay Nezek Shalim or Chatzin Nezek for Karen B'Shus and Nezek, Reb Tarfon is of the opinion that even though it's a case of Karen, it's atypical behavior, you're still going to pay Nezek Shalim. But even so, Reb Tarfon also holds, and we're going to discuss this Bez Hashem a little bit later in Yud Chesem and Beis, Reb Tarfon also holds that for Karen B'Shus and Nezek, you're also going to be paying Megufa. So, if that's the case of the Mishnah Daf Chaf Aleph, of the Kelev Shanat HaKharara is no longer parallels Rava's case, because Rava's case of Tzororos is a case of Tzororos where it's Orchayu, and the case of the Mishnah Kavalef is a case of Tzororos where it's not Orchayu, it's Bidishani. So the Gemara says, wait a second, why are you doing that? Why are you assuming that Rav Elazar has to lock in Rav Tarfon's opinion? The only reason that you're really saying that is that because we have to figure out some way for Rav Elazar to hold that he Nezek Shalim and that you pay Megufo. And the only way that we seem to say that is if it's not a standard case of Tzororos. The problem is, so the Gemara says, no, but it's still possible to say that the case is a standard case of Tzororos, because Rav Elazar can hold Simchas to say that you pay Nezek Shalim for Tzororos, where it's Tzororos, where it's as a result of typical behavior. So why do you pay Megufo? You pay Megufo because of Tamas from Komometas, because of Rav Yehuda's opinion that when an animal starts off as a Tam, you pay Chatzi Nezek. So how is it possible the Rav Yehuda could say that for when the animal, if you did a Shmir Pechusa, if you did a minimal Shmira, Rav Yehuda tells us that for Tzat Tamas, you have to pay, when an animal is a Tam, you have to pay Chatzi Nezek. But then if the animal becomes a Mud and you did a minimal Shmira, you're all of a sudden no longer Chayv to pay. How could that be? So the answer is, of course you're Chayv to pay. You're Chayv to pay at the bare minimum for the Tamas aspect of the animal. In other words, you're going to have to pay presumably Chatzi Nezek or Megufo. The only question is if you pay for the mu'ud component of the animal. And so if that's the case, it's possible for Rav Elazar to hold it in the case of Tzororos that you're going to pay Nezek Shalom because he aligns with Simchas, but he's also going to hold that you pay Megufo. Why is he going to say that you pay Megufo? He's going to say that you pay Megufo because of Tzat Tamos B'mkomo Matis. If that's the case, then it's possible that the case, the Mishnah, Kedel Shanat Al Harara, is a case of Tzororos where it's Urchayu, and you see that you pay Megufo, so you see that we could, in fact, address Rava's question. That was where the Gemara left off in Yud-Ches, and then Rav Sama said, well, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. You can't say that Rav Elazar is going to hold that you pay Megufo because of Tzad Thomas from Komo Medes in this case, because if you remember, typically, for Tzad Thomas from Komo Medes, the whole idea is that when an animal starts off as a Tam and then becomes a Mu'ad, we say that you're going to pay Megufo because it never, the Tamas aspect of the animal never goes away. You're always going to be responsible for a Tamas, for the Tamas aspect of the animal. But in this case, if it's as a result, if the Tzororos are as a result of typical behavior, then why is it then there is no Tzad Tamas, right? The animal didn't start off as a Tam. If the animal didn't start off as a Tam, it was always Archayu, then there's no Tzad Tamas from Komo Medes. If that's the case, then we're back to square one now regarding how can we justify Rav Elazar's opinion of Nezek Shalem together with Megufo if the case is going to be a case of Tzororos. So how can we bring a raya from this case to Rava's question? How can we address Rava's question based on this case? So the Gemara now rethinks things and says, Ella, top of Yud-Ches and Beis, Ella, Kika Amar Rav Elazar Nezek Shalem, regarding what did Rav Elazar say that you're going to pay Nezek Shalem, because of what did Rav Elazar say that you're paying Nezek Shalem, Kigon Dei, it's for example that where the dog became a Muad. If the machlokas between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim regarding whether you pay Nezek Shalom Migufo or Chatzin Nezek Migufo is that Marasar Yesh Hadal Tzoros, one holds that there is a way for Tzoros for now to become a Muad with respect to Tzoros, or Marasar Ina Hadal Tzoros, and one says that there's no way for an animal to become a Muad with respect to Tzoros. What exactly does this mean, and how does this help us for Rava's question, if it does? So Rashi really gives us two approaches for how to explain this Gemara. Rashi's first approach is what would seem at least to be a little bit intuitive. Remember, if the issue over here is how do you pay for Tzad Tamos if it didn't start off as a Tam? So the answer is I will establish the case to be where the animal's damage as a result of Tzoros did start off as a Tam. How is that possible? If originally the animal exhibited atypical behavior that resulted in Tzoros. So for example, let's say the dog picked up the coal in its mouth and dropped it off by one haystack. And that was the first time that it ever did it. So it is a Tam with respect to this first damage. So it's atypical behavior that results in Tzoros. The coal then goes and burns down the pile of grain. And so maybe for that first time, that would be a case of Tam. But what happens if the dog did this a number of times? So now when it does another three times and it goes on to do it again, do you say that this is considered to be a Muad with respect to Tzoros? And therefore maybe it's possible that you'd have to pay Nezek Shalim now, even though it is a case of Tzoros, but maybe you'd have to pay Nezek Shalim for this case of Tzararos. So that's the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Elazar. According to the Chachamim, they say, let's get this straight. In the normal case of Tzararos, Tzararos is where the animal is a Mu'ad already, right? The animal, let's say, is walking, and a Regel, we know, is considered to be a Mu'ad. So the animal is walking, and as it's walking, a stone gets flicked out from beneath its foot, and goes and smashes a glass vase. So if that's in that case, we know that the halacha is that you pay nezek shal. Excuse me, that you pay chatzi nezek. So why should it make a difference if the animal started off as a tam and becomes a mu'ud? If when we see that when the animal was started off as a mu'ud to begin with, you're anyway only going to be chayv chatzi nezek. So the chachamim are therefore of the opinion that in this case of the kelev shenat harara, where it starts off as a tam and goes into being a mu'ud, doesn't make a difference. You're always going to be chayv to pay Chatzi Nezek. And so, though, what do you see? The Chacham, at the same point, when we're dealing with the case of Tzroros, where the animal is a Mu'ad with respect to Tzroros, where it's Orchayu, you see that the Chacham hold that you pay Megufo. On the other hand, Rav Elazar says, look, when it comes to Tzroros Kirchayu, I'm masking to you guys. I wouldn't be masking to the Chachamim, excuse me, to the Chacham who are Cholik on Sumchis, who say that you pay chatzi nezek. But over here, this is a different story. When the animal starts off as a tam and then becomes a mu'ad, that's no longer a case of regel. That's a case of toldot dekaren. When we're dealing with toldot dekaren, so then it is very possible for the animal to become a mu'ad with respect to this case of tzroos, because it's not really a normal case of tzroos, it's a case of toldot dekaren. And if that's the case, I'm going to say that you pay nezek shalim. Now, if it's a case of toldot dekaren, I'm going to still say that this is going to mimic the rules of tam. So the first three times you're going to be chayv to pay megufo. So it never, we're always going to say tzad tamas b'mekomo medes. And so Rav Elazar would say you'll pay nezek shalim. One half you're going to pay megufo because of tzad tamas b'mekomo medes, and one half of the nezek shalim you're going to pay min ha'aliyah. That's Rav Elazar's argument. That's Rashi's first approach to the Gemara. So what you see then is, given Rashi's first approach in this Gemara, is that we are going to establish this case to be the case of the dog is going to be a case where it starts off as a tam with respect to this Tzararos. It does something atypical. It does it a number of times, resulting in burning down this gutters, for example. And so the Rav Elazar's opinion is that it's possible that it's really a case of toldot dekaren, and you're going to pay nezek shalim once it becomes in mu'ad, and for half the damages you're going to pay for the tzad tamas megufo, and for the other half you're going to pay min aliyah. However, what do you see though? You see that according to the Chacham say that there's no such thing as mu'ad with respect to tzros, as becoming a mu'ad with respect to tzros. You're always going to pay chatzi nezek, but when you pay the chatzi nezek, you're paying megufo. So what do you see from the Chacham's opinion? You see from the Chacham's opinion that in a case of tzroros, you pay chatzi nezek megufo. So according to Rashi's first mahalach, that's the way that we would address Rava's question, is that you see that for chatzi nezek of tzroros, you're going to pay megufo. Now Rashi's second approach is a little bit different. Rashi's second approach is that when we're talking about that an animal, that it becomes a mu'ud with respect to tzroos, it's actually talking about a typical case of tzroos, where the animal exhibits typical behavior and sends something sends some sort of intermediate to result in the damage, and it does this a number of times. And so that's where you have machlokas between Rav Elazar, that Rav Elazar holds that yesh hadat l'tzros, just like any other chatzi nezek, that when you have a payment of chatzi nezek, the circumstances allow that it can morph into a mu'ad to result in nezek shalim. So too over here, where it starts off as chatzi nezek, it's possible to morph into mu'ad if it does this a number of times, in which case you'd have to pay nezek shalim, and you're going to have to pay nezek shalim. Now why are you paying megufo though? You're going to be paying megufo because of the tzad tamas part. Okay, that's Rashi's second approach. Okay, so where does this leave us? So now, so Gemara says again, Eli kika amar Rav Elazar nezek shalom kigon diyar. Clearly, the machlokes Rav Elazar and the Chacham is going to have to be with respect to a case where the animal becomes a mu'ad for its road. So, b'halkamethlekin the machlokes between Rav Elazar and the Chacham regarding the case of kelev shenat harara is mar sarviyish hadala tzroros. One holds that there is such a thing as an animal becoming a mu'ad with respect to tzroros. Mar sarva in hadala tzroros. And one says there's no such thing as an animal becoming a mu'ad with respect to tzroros. And then we have two explanations for Rashi, whether we're talking about the animal becoming a mu'ad when it started off with tzroros kirchayu or tzroros when it's not orchayu. Okay, so the Gemara says, wait a second. Elahad bar Rava, but we know that Rava had a question about this very point. We know that Rava asked, Yesh hadal etzraros or ein hadal etzraros? Rava wanted to know, do you say that there's such a thing as hadal etzraros or not? So I don't get it then. If what you're saying is correct, that that's what's going on in the machlokas between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim, either Rabbanan ein hadal etzraros, either Rav Elazar, yesh hadal etzraros. If you hold like the Chacham, then there's no Hadah. If there is, if you hold like the Rav Elazar, then there is Hadah with Tzraros. So why don't we just address it based on that? So the Gemara says, Amar lecha Rava, Rava would tell you, Kimi bayali lididi, regarding what was I asking that question, that was Alibi Darbanan, the Pligyalei de Simchas. That was only according to the Chachamim who disagree with Simchas. If you hold like the Chacham, in other words, that question of Yesh Hadal Tzoros or Ein Hadal Tzoros, that's only according to the Chachamim who disagree with Simchas. Remember, the Chachamim who disagree with Simchas hold that for case of Tzoros, Ki Urchayu, you pay Chati Nezek. So I am asking, according to their opinion, if you would do something, if you do a case of Tzoros, if you'd have a case of Tzoros where the animal did this three times, do you still say that you pay Chati Nezek? Do you say that no, it's possible for the animal to become mu'ud with respect to tzoros? In other words, do we say that since the very first time you pay chatzi nezek, so what do you see? Maybe this should parallel the rules of Karen. And so the same with it for Karen, it can morph into a case of mu'ud, so too, maybe the chum would hold that way. Or maybe you say that no, we view this like a case of tolda de rego, where it's orche, in which case, if it's a case of regal, where it's orche, there's no such thing as it becoming a mu'ud anymore, because from the very first time, it was already established to be a mu'ud, and even so, given the circumstances that it was established to be a mu'ud, you're still going to pay chatz nezek. So Rava says, look, that chakira of yesh hadar ein hadal etzraros is only with respect to the chacham's opinion, when the chacham who disagree with Simchas. Aval hacha, but over here, when we're dealing with the machlokas of the chacham and Rav Elazar, but for the case of not of Kel Shanat Kharara, Avalaka Bain Larban and Bain Rabalazar, Kisum Khasfir Lahu, they both hold the opinions of Rabban and Rabalazar who disagree about the case of Kel Shanat Kharara, they really both hold like Sumchas. The Amar Tzoros Nezek Shalim Misham, who says that for case of Tzoros you're going to pay Nezek Shalim. Now the question is then, obviously, if everyone agrees to Sumchas and in the case of Tzoros you pay Nezek Shalim, then why did the Chacham say that you pay Chati Nezek over there, right? So the time of Mayam Rabban Chati Nezek, so why is it the Chacham say, why is it that the Chacham disagree with Rav Elazar and say that you pay Chati Nezek if everyone agrees to Sumchas? Because the case is, because the case we're dealing with is that the dog did something atypical for the very first time. It has not become a mu'ud yet. Dishani, it exhibited atypical behavior, did something abnormal, below a yard, and it has not become a mu'ud yet. And so then what's the machlokas now? When the animal exhibits atypical behavior and results in tsuroros, let's say, so now it's not a case of tsuros kirchar anymore, it's a case of told of the Karen. If this is a case of told of the Karen, so now the Chum are going to say, why do we hold it to be Chati Nezek Migufo? Because we hold it's a case of told of the Karen, so it makes a lot of sense. For it's a case of told of the Karen, you pay Chati Nezek Migufo. However, why does Rav Elazar disagree? Why does he hold it to pay Nezek Shalei Migufo? So that's because, so Uba Plugged Rav Tarfon Rabban Kamifagi, their machlokas between Rav Tarfon and the Chum is, between Rav Elazar and the Chum is if you hold like Rav Tarfon or the Rabban. Remember again, Rav Tarfon's opinion is, in the case of Mashunah B'chatzar Nezek, the halakha is you pay Nezek Shalei. So Rav Elazar is of the opinion that you're going to pay Nezek Shalem Megufo because he holds a Rav Tarfon. He holds a Rav Tarfon who says that when it comes to Karen Bishus and Nizik, you pay Nezek Shalem and you're also going to pay Megufo. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Megufo Mishamatle. Amor Deshamatle, the Rav Tarfon Nezek Shalem. Maybe I could understand that according to Rav Tarfon, you pay Nezek Shalem Megufo Mishamatle. Does he say that you pay Megufo? And the Gemara says, actually he does hold that you'd pay Megufo, even though you're paying Nezek Shalim. Why? Because where is he coming from? Mekaren Merishus or Berishus Harabim, from a case of Karen Berishus Harabim, so Dialovam and Adin, Lios Kenidon. What does that mean? So really to understand this point in the Gemara, you have to take a look at the Mishnah Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. The Mishnah Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis presents that machlokas between Rav Tarfon and the Chum that we discussed before. The Mishnah over there says that when dealing with a case of Karen Bershus and Nizik, Rav Tarfon says you pay Nezek Shalim, and the Chum say you pay Chati Nezek. The question is, what's the lumdis for Rav Tarfon's opinion. Why does he say that you pay Nezek Shalom for a case of Karen Bishos and Nezek? So Rav Tarfon, about five lines down in the Mishnah, he says to the Chachamim as follows. Amr lahem Rav Tarfon, umab makam shehi kala al shein v'al regel b'rishos harabim shu potter hichmer aleihen b'rishos nizek l'shalom nizek shalom. Just like in a place where, in a scenario where you are makel, like for example, when it comes to shein and regel, if an animal damages by means of shein or regel, in the rishos harabim, what's the halacha? You're potter. And still, even though when it comes to shein and regel, you're potter for damages in rishos harabim, if they would damage by means of shein or regel in rishus hanizik, what would you be chayiv? Nezek shalem. So now, makom shehichmer al karen, so in a place where you are machmer on karen rishus harabim, what happens if for damages of karen rishus harabim? What's halacha? L'shalem chatinezik. You have to pay chatinezik. So now, what's going to be the halacha when it comes to karen rishus hanizik? Inodin shenachmer lo rishus hanizik l'shalem nezek shalem. So then it goes without saying that we should be machmir rishus hanizik, that the Karen should have to pay, that for damages of Karen you'd have to pay nezek shalem. So the Chacham say back to Reb Tarfon, amr lo dial of him in adin lios kanidin. Literally what that means is that it would be enough that if you're deriving something from an halacha, that you're going to have to, at least you can't exceed the parameters of the halacha from which you're deriving, the halacha that from whose source you're deriving. Meaning to say, ma birshus harabim chatinezek, a birshus anizek chatinezek. Meaning, if you're basing the whole principle for what you'd be liable for Karen, Bershus, and Nizik, is based on the liability for Karen in Rishus Harabim, well, Karen, Bershus, Harabim, what do you chayiv? You chayiv Chatinezik. So a Karen, Bershus, and Nizik can't be any more chummer than Karen, Bershus, Harabim. And so Karen, Bershus, and Nizik, you should also be chayiv Chatinezik. So Reb Tarfon says back to that, Amalem, Avani, Lo, Adun, Karen, Makaren. I'm not deriving the halachas of Karen, Bershus, and Nizik from Karen, Bershus, Harabim. That's not what I'm doing. Ani, Adun, Karen Meregel. I'm learning out the rules of Karen from the rules of Regel. So again, just as in a place where you are Makel and Shein and Regel Meshus Rabim, because Shein and Regel Meshus Rabim, you're Putter entirely. So you're Machmer and Karen, and we say that for Karen Meshus Rabim, you have Chati Nezek. So in a place where you're Machmer and Shein and Regel, in Meshus and Nezek, where we say that for Karen and Shein, For regal and chain, Bershus and Nezek, you have to pay Nezek Sholein. So in addition, you're not for the Karen. So then it goes without saying that you would be hired for Karen in the same way as you hired Nezek Sholein for Karen. And again, it's still dialogue of Menadim Leos Kanidon. So now let's flip back over here. So Gemara says like this. Remember, again, Rava is trying to say, my Hakira about Yeshadar Einada Litzroros, which is only within the Chacham's opinion who are Cholik and Sumchas. But over here, when we're dealing with the Machlogos between the Chacham and Rav Elazar, about the Kelv Shanat the Harara, if you have Chati Nezek Migufo or Nezek Shalom Migufo, everybody really holds like Sumchas. They all hold that you pay Nezek Shalom for a case of Tzroros. So why did the Chacham say that you pay Chati Nezek? Because we're dealing with atypical behavior. The animal has not become a mu'ud for this kind of behavior, and it's atypical. And so that's the case. If that's the case, it's a case of told of the Karen. If it's a case of told of the Karen, then that is the same case as the Machlokas, Rav Tarfon and the Chachamim of Karen, Bishos, and Nizek. And so the Machlokas, Rav Elazar, and the Chachamim is whether you hold like Rav Tarfon or if you hold like the Chachamim. The Chachamim say we hold like the Chachamim later on in Daf Chav Dalet. The Chachamim would say that we hold that you pay Chati Nezek for Karen, Bishos, and Nezek. And Rav Elazar disagrees. He says, no, I hold like Rav Tarfon, who says that you pay Nezek Shalem. And remember, both of them hold, both Rav Elazar and the Chacham hold that you pay Nezek Shalem or Chati Nezek Megufo. So the question is, does Rav Tarfon ever mention anything about paying Nezek Shalem Megufo? Remember, in the Mishnah Chaf Dalet, Rav Tarfon's whole point was that, yeah, if you were Machmer on Karen relative to Shein and Regel, when it comes to Rishus Ram, so you should be Machmer on Karen relative to Shein and Regel, or at least as Chomer as Karen, as Shein and Regel in Rishus and Nizek. But it didn't mention anything about paying Megufo. So Emer Deshamalei L'Rav Tarfon Nezek Shalem, Megufo Mishamalei. I could make a case that Rav Tarfon was discussing, right? The Shtickel Torah that Rav Tarfon has was only with respect to how much you pay. Did he mention anything about from what you pay? Did he mention anything about paying Megufo? So the Gemara says, yes, I could in fact make a case that Rav Tarfon holds that you'd pay Megufo. How so? Because where are you coming from? Where is he getting the rules for how much you pay? That was based on Mikaren Mershus Rabim, or Karen Bershus Rabim, right? So if that's the case, that the basis for what you pay, for how much you pay when we're dealing with Karen Bershus and Nizik is based on for how much you pay for Karen Bershus Harabim, so Dialavam and Adin, Lios Kanidon, the halachos that we are deriving should be no different than the source from which we derive them. And so therefore, the same way that for Karen Bershus Harabim, you're going to be paying Migufo, so too for Karen Bershus and Nizik, you're going to be paying Migufo. The only problem is that if you remember, and Afkav Dalid, Tarfin kept saying, the Chum kept on arguing Dio, and Reb Tarfin basically said, I don't really buy into that. So the Gemara says, Vahar Reb Tarfin less like Dio. Reb Tarfin doesn't buy into this thing of Dio. He's not restricted by the concept of Dio. So the Gemara says, no. Ki less like Dio. Regarding what, when do we say that Reb Tarfin doesn't hold of Dio? That's Hecha de Mifrich Kavel Chomer. That's where the Kavel Chomer that we are suggesting is challenged. Hecha de Lo Mifrich Kavel Chomer, but where, excuse me, where the Kavel Chomer that we are suggesting is not challenged is Le Dio. Then he does, in fact, hold a Dio. Meaning to say as follows. For example, we're saying, remember, over there in the Mishnah, Reb Tarfin arguing, I don't really buy into Dio to limit the extent of liability for Karen Bershus and Nizik. Right? Reb Tarfin wants to say that for Karen Bershus and Nizik, you're going to be chayav Nezik Shalim. Why doesn't he hold a Dio? Because what exactly would Dio do? Dio would basically be saying that you shouldn't have to pay for Karen Bershus and Nizik more than Chati Nezik. But even if I didn't have a Kavel Chomer, remember, and that would be based on a Kavel Chomer, but even if I didn't have a Kavel Chomer, I already know that. I already know that you pay Chati Nezik for Karen Bershus and Nizik, because the Pasuk, when it discusses a time that's goring, doesn't specify that it's talking about Rishus HaRabim. So I already know that you're going to pay Chati Nezik for the damages of Karen. And so therefore, the Kavel Chomer would be irrelevant. So because the Kavel Chomer is challenged, therefore I can throw away Dio. But over here, but where we're dealing with in a case where the Kavel Chomer is not challenged, then he can hold of Dio. So for example, over here, I can use the Kavel Chomer to say that you'd pay... for example, over here, where the Kavel Chomer is not schlugged up, so then the hold of Dio to say that the same way that for Nezek Shalem, when you're paying, where you're paying Bershus Aram, you're going to be paying Megufa, so too when you're paying Bershus and Nezek. Okay. That is the point. So where does this leave us? So in terms of Rava's Chakira, of whether you pay Chati Nezek Throws Megufa or not, we don't really have a raya at the end of the day. Because we, at the end of the day, we're saying that we reject the discussion, we dismiss the discussion of Rabbanim and Rav Elazar regarding the case of Kavel Shnal Techara, because everyone really holds like Sumchis, but the discussion of this is just totally different than Rav's case with Tzoros, right? The discussion there of Rav Elazar and the Chum is a case of Toldo the Karen. Okay, let's hold here on Bli Neder. Bezrem will pick up next time from Gufa by Rava Yeshad Al Tzoros or Inhad Al Tzoros.